and it's available during the festival. I encourage you to understand or make yourself familiar with Lord Nrsingadev's coming, because it's really a very similar story, or let us say quite, there are some similarities, let us say, between his original coming and his coming as the deity here in Germany. Today we will start the festival. I heard, maybe we started it yesterday and the day before yesterday already, but to my knowledge, we will have today a day dedicated to kirtan. Throughout the days, there will be prominent kirtan leaders singing their kirtans in the temple, and I encourage you to make yourself familiar with the schedule and attend as much as possible these kirtans. And then tomorrow we celebrate Radhastami. Some say, wow, that's you have a lot going on. Srimati Radhika's appearance will be celebrated, and then on Monday we have the celebration of the Brahmotsava, when the Lord was installed here 40 years ago, that anniversary. So I will talk today about my favorite subject matter, the chanting of the holy name, and how to make it work for us. And let us start. But it's really nice to see all of you. I think more devotees will arrive during the next few days, so we will be really making good use of the space here in the temple. Let us sing a little. One moment. China sings. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can you see how nice the light looks when it comes through this window? It really looks as if a demigod is coming through the light. Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyavi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari.
Das war ein Nrsingha Miracle, dass du hier
ja,
bist,
oder? Ja, aber nur kurz leider.
Immerhin bist du da.
Gopi jana valla va girivara dadi. Gopi jana palava iri varadani. Yasoda nandana Praja jana ranjana. Yasoda Yasodanandana Rajajanadandana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Hare Krishna Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama
Rama Hare Hare May I suggest one practice? When you chant, try to hear your own chanting. Srila Prabhupada wrote this, first we hear the leader chant and listen as he chants to the mantra, and then we respond and we also hear the other devotees respond. And in these two listening practices, one to the leader, one to the congregation of chanters, our mind is fixed in the best meditation. So please listen to the chanting. Everybody please sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Jaya Palat Singha, Palat Singha, Palat Singha, Jaya Palat Singha, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sina Singhadeva ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo, Hare Krishna. We will read this morning from the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, the 3rd chapter, verse 44. Let me just find the verse for us. Yes, here. Jana, no. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yanna madheyam riyamana tura.
Yanna madheyam riyamana tura.
Patanskalanva vivasho grinan puman.
Patanskalanva vivasho grinan puman.
Vimukta kama galautamang Gatim. Prabnoti yakshanti natam kalo janaha.
Prabnoti yakshanti natam kalo janaha.
Janna madeyam riyamana atura. Patanskalangva vivasho ginan puman.
Patanskalangva vivasho ginan puman.
Vimukta kama gala utamangatim.
Vimukta kama gala utamangatim.
Prabnoti yakshyanti natankalo jana. Yes, please. Galautamangatim. Prabnoti yakshanti natam kalo jana. A Vaishnavi, maybe? Yat hus namadeyam name mriyamana, a person who is dying, aturaha distressed, patan collapsing, skalan voice faltering, va or Vivashaha. Helplessly. Grinan. Chanting. Puman. A person. Vimukta. Freed. Karma. Of fruitive work. Aragalaha. From the chains. Utamam. The topmost. Gatim. Destination. Prabnoti. Achieves. Yakshantina. They do not worship him. Tam. Him, the personality of Godhead. Kalo. In the age of Kali. Janaha. People. I would like to, before I start, make two comments. I will not be able to address the younger amongst us, the children under 8 years, so I suggest, before they get bored and start to scream at me, to take them out to playing and eating maybe, or anything. The second comment is more for the content, or towards the content of this lecture. This is a quite serious subject today. Wow! We will hear a little bit about the obstacles which we face in chanting, and we will look at a solution, how to change it, to change our obstacles. So the first part of the lecture will make you most probably a little bit, let us say, it will shake you up. That's intended, by the way. And the second part is offering a solution. So when you hear the first part, please do not become, let us say, don't switch off and think there is no chance for me, because there is a chance. Good. So how this is now the translation of the verse. It speaks about a dying man who, even at the moment of his death, cannot correct his ways. Terrified. About to die. A man collapses on his bed. That's the moment of death, no? Although his voice is faltering and he's hardly conscious of what he is saying, if he utters the holy name of the Supreme Lord, he can be freed from the reaction of his fruitive work and achieve the supreme destination. No? So think of this man. He has lived a life less substantial, and death has come to take him, and he is collapsing in agony on his deathbed. Now, even now, it's not too late. He can become freed from his karma and achieve the supreme destination if only he takes to the chanting of the holy name of the Supreme Lord. But, the text continues, but still people in the age of Kali will not worship the Supreme Lord. Now, perhaps I was not clear, and please don't force me to use a very direct language. I cannot address children. Bambinos, no bambinos, please. So please take your bambinos out. And I have a way to say it even more heavy. Please don't force me to do this. Good. So, yes. My dear devotees, this is a very deep subject. It picks up on a verse which has been narrated in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. It is in this verse. It is said that people in this age of Kali are very, very unfortunate, because although the process of Krishna consciousness is there, the process is definitely there, they just can't take to it because they are too unfortunate, too disturbed, really. They have generally no time, but even if they have time, like some of us, we have reserved time for our chanting, we are too distracted, and then we become too lazy, really, for our spiritual practice. No, so this is the subject. Today is our Kirtan day. At present, Kirtan becomes very popular. But mostly the people who take to Kirtan take it as a means for feeling good and becoming more peaceful. There are Kirtan concerts now where many, many more people come than to our programs in the temple. But they do so to feel good and to become peaceful. Afterwards, the material life will go on. Even they are so close that they sing Kirtan, they do not worship Krishna. They do not give pleasure to Bhagavan. They do not understand that bhakti means to put the Lord in the center. The reason is given in the next verse why people are so blind to the obvious. The next verse says, Pungsankali kritandoshan dravya deshatma sambhavan savanharati chittasto bhagavan purushottama. In the Kali Yuga we hear, objects, places, and even individual personalities are all polluted. Objects means, you know, the things which we use. Places means where we live, or places and individual personalities means our own mind and our own heart. They are all overwhelmed by the influence of Kali. Kali's influence is like a thick layer of dirty oil that covers everything and everywhere you touch. Whoa, that contamination is there. Especially in the mind, also there, same substance. But Krishna, the verse continues, can remove all such contamination from the life if one only fixes the Lord within the mind. When there is dirt all over, there's darkness all over. But Krishna, when he is thought about, remembered, recollected, and so on, in the mind, he can take it away. Because he will remove from the mind of someone who hears about him and glorifies him all the contamination that is accumulated during many thousands of lifetimes. And Shukadev Goswami wants to now give an example. He says, when you have gold and it is discolored because there are other metals mixed with the gold, then there's one thing which you can do. You can't wash the gold. You can't take a piece of cloth and rub it. But if you bring it to the fire, and if you melt it over the fire, then very soon the mixed metals will just run out of it. It's virtually, it flows out, or the gold flows, and there is a separation, and you have the pure gold. So Sukadev Goswami says it like this: Yata hemni stito vanir duvanam hantita tuyam. Just as fire applied to gold removes any discoloration caused by traces of other metals, Lord Vishnu, when he comes in the heart, purifies the mind of the yogis. This is a very good example. It says, nothing else will work in Kali Yuga, just like nothing else than fire will remove the impurity. Only this one thing, that Krishna comes into the mind of the conditioned souls. And then there is the next verse. I'm reading from the Gita. This is not Gita Bhagavatam. This is a few verses later, text 50. It says, Miyamaner abideyo bhagavan parameshvara atma bhavam nayatyanga savatma sava sangshaya. Well, this is also a verse, but there's another verse before this. Therefore, O King, I would say it differently. Therefore, O Hare Krishna people, endeavor with all your might to fix the Supreme Lord Keshava within your heart. Maintain this concentration upon the Lord, and at the time of death, you will certainly attain the supreme destination. With all your might, Sri Jiva explains, means with all your endeavor, you should somehow bring Krishna into your mind. And we all know this is done through absent-minded chanting. Oops, was that right? Oh, sorry, I have a foggy brain from driving. To bring Krishna in the mind is done through absent-minded chanting. Is that right? Once again, because some of you are sleeping. Can we bring Krishna in the mind through absent-minded chanting? I'm not sure if you mean it, because this would make a revolution in your life. With all your might, you must endeavor to do this. It's not a walk through the park. You must bring Krishna in the mind. This is explained further by Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandhava. What is exactly? How does this process work? Well, you have to avoid the offenses. My dear devotees, if we want to light a fire but simultaneously pour water on it, we cannot get the fire. In the same way, if we chant and we are not with all our might endeavoring to get rid of the obstacles of chanting, we will not get what Sukadev Goswami says here is Savatma Sarva Samshaya. That is, the Krishna reveals his beautiful form to us, and also our own spiritual identity. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in this way, where you focus with all your might, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom of God. Kirtanat eva Krishnasya, no? By the kirtan of Krishna. Mukta sangha, one can become free from material bondage, and param rajet, be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Whew! What a great chance. What a great opportunity. What a great kripa, what a great mercy that by this process one can get. But if we do criticism, you know, if we do the 10 offenses, it will all be ruined, this process. You know the offenses very well. We hear the very strong offense is criticism of Vaishnavas. Yes, we can criticize Vaishnavas in the service of bhakti, but not as a matter of relishing fault finding. It may happen that a devotee who engages in the process of bhakti might see the need to protect bhakti from wrongdoings. No, but when he sees that some of the members may do things which are not good, he will try to correct that, but he won't relish this dosha kata, talking about the mistakes of others. He'll do it discreetly and so on. Because when we engage in the offenses, my dear devotees, there is such a bad reaction just coming for us. To our spiritual life. I would like to tell you a little story. It will help you also to go through the lecture, because some of you might be tired. So, which I heard from Keshava Maharaj. There was once a king who had desired actually to distribute khichdi to all the citizens of his kingdom. So he cooked a huge pot of khichdi, a really huge. And personally, that one morning, he scooped the khichdi into the bowls and gave the bowls to all his citizens. There were many, many citizens. They wanted to see the king and receive their bowl of khichdi. And the king was so charitable, he said, "You can keep the bowl for further use." So it was a very happy event, but then something terrible happened. There was a bird, an eagle, who had just captured a poisonous snake and killed it in his talons. So he flew with his food, the snake, over the place where the food distribution was going on. And as the snake was hanging like this with his mouth down, as he was crossing the the place where the king was distributing the khichdi, a drop of this highly potent poison fell into the bowl, which he was just filling up. And without seeing what had happened, the king looked down to put this khichdi in there. He gave the bowl to one of the people, the next person. And the person said, "Thank you so much." And he smiled. And he took one bite. And the bite froze on his lips. He collapsed and he died on the spot. It was such a powerful poison from the snake. So the king looked, everyone else looked and was shocked. So such a good activity, this food distribution, and now this, someone has died. You know, he was foaming from the poison. His eyes were blue, you know, like in your horror movies. And he was in spasm and he screamed and then he died. The king thought, what have I done? Yamaraj and Chitragupta appeared on the scene. Chitragupta had his notebook there. Okay, he said, this looks like murder. Who gets the karma here? Yamaraj said, well, the king can't get the karma because he did not know that the Khichdi, which he gave, was poisoned. Okay, said Chitragupta, this seems to get complicated. I just need to write down who gets the karma. The king not, then maybe the eagle. The eagle also doesn't get the karma. He was just eating his food. His food happened to be snakes, and he was flying to find a peaceful place. He doesn't get the karma. Okay, said Chitragupta. Then who gets the karma? The snake? The snake was dead, said Yamaraj. Didn't do anything intentionally bad. So at this moment, you know, you can imagine everyone was so shocked, but one old lady, this old elderly person was just such a dosha lover, such a fault finder, just got up and started to scream hysterically at the king, you rascal, under the pretext of feeding your kingdom, you have just killed one. This is what you wanted to do. You are a rakshasa. And she just began to lash out on the king. And Yamaraj looked at Chitragupta and said, we know who gets the karma. Yeah, you are laughing, but this is heavy. You should cry. Criticism. Those who criticize, they get a lot of a bad reaction. Therefore, we always have seen that those who relish fault finding, which is one of the offenses, no, they suffer the most. They suffer the most because there's in Mahabharata, there are many texts about this. What is it? The karma goes to the critic. No, there are many texts like this. It's very described. The reason why I tell this is because offenses are not lightweight things, you know, something which we read in the early morning when we visit a temple, when we are half between the two, in the twilight zone, you know, and so on. It's something that is very consequential for our lives. How do I know that I have committed an offense? Srila Jiva Goswami and the Bhakti Sandarbha Anuchetya 153.3 tells us five prominent effects by which you can see that your life has been covered by offenses. One is hypocrisy. You are, it's called kautilya. You are showing one face in public, but you do something else in your private life. The second thing is, if you see in your life that there is faithlessness, ashraddha, then that is the result of aparada, can be the result of aparada. Three, when you have this Bhagavan Nishta Chavaka Vyastyantarabi Nesha, my God, that's a mouthful of Sanskrit here. It means when you are absorbed in objects that are unrelated to your devotion and that erode or take away from your focus on Bhagavan. No, I think that's something we can immediately relate to. No, we are sometimes engaged in objects unrelated to devotion, but these are objects that are not helpful at all, and therefore our focus on Krishna gets. Then the next is bhakti shaitilya. It means a slackness in our devotion. Not really there. And finally, there is pride. It's interesting. Jiva Goswami says, pride that arises from the execution of one's devotional acts. Svabhaktyadikrita manitva. If one is unable to give up these five things, no, hypocrisy, faithlessness, being distracted to other things, being slack in devotion, and being full of pride. One should understand that all these are effects of offenses to the holy name in this life. And even they could be symptoms of those offenses which we have committed in the past life. Wow, that's an information. I would like to give you just a little insight from the Mahabharata. This is a story which Jiva Goswami tells in Bhakti Sandarbha about this tenth offense or not being very faithful in Krishna. My story will illustrate what happens is exactly in bhakti when you commit offenses, how it takes away your vision. And I found this, I mean, this is something which everyone of you who is interested in psychology will just love. It can show, it's really telling, very telling. Oh my God, this child. Maybe some milk could be given to the child. Yeah, milk maybe, or sweet, or... So, Krishna, this is also something good for the preachers who will have to explain why there is a holy war in our tradition, the battle of Kurukshetra. So Krishna made every effort conceivable to avoid the war. When he came as a messenger from the Pandavas a little bit before the outbreak of the war, he went to Dhritarashtra in private, and he had a private talk with him. He urged him to capture Duryodhan and put him into prison. This act alone would avoid that the Kaurava dynasty would meet on the battlefield in a fratricidal war and be totally annihilated. So Dhritarashtra heard, he could understand, yes, my son Duryodhana, he is the warmonger. He is always heading and going towards the war. Maybe we could avoid this war amongst the family by capturing Duryodhana. He was thinking about it because Krishna talked to him in private, just so personal, and gave very good arguments. Krishna gives amazing arguments. They are still wonderfully fresh even after 5,000 years. We read the Bhagavad Gita. You know, she talks really very, very deeply and truthfully. So Duryodhana heard that Krishna was talking privately to his father. Duryodhana has his spies everywhere. They were hiding behind the curtain of Dhritarashtra or somewhere, I don't know where they were. But they told him, Duryodhana, Krishna talks to your father, that your father should capture you. And Duryodhana got furious. He knew he could not so easily run into his father's apartment, but he immediately went to Dushasan and Karna. Yes, Karna was also part of this, what you will hear, and said, tomorrow when Vasudev comes for the negotiations into the palace court, we should surround him with chains and we should bind him and then throw him into prison. So Dushasan and Karna said, yes, let's do this. When Krishna in the morning came into the assembly hall, they actually came at him from, they surrounded him with chains, Paramshreya. Just think of this. And they wanted to bind Krishna. So Krishna's reaction was that he smiled. Then he started to laugh. Really? And then as he was laughing, the universal form manifested from his laughter. A terrible form to behold, you know, with the planets inside and so on. The whole universe was seen inside. When Duryodhana, Karna, and who else was there? Dushasan, yes, saw this. They collapsed on the ground and fainted. But only after a few minutes, Duryodhana got up again. And he said, Vasudev, I can also do illusions. You have cheap magic. I also have that. He just could not understand Krishna's godhood because he was so critical and so was such an offensive guy. He did so much Vaishnava offense against Arjuna and all the other Pandavas that he just could not see, although he saw. And in my own efforts in Krishna consciousness, I have seen this, that I somehow seem at times not be able to enter the fineness of Krishna consciousness. That when I chant the holy name, I look at the wristwatch and say, hopefully my slot is soon over. I don't know how long I can maintain the singing. And you know, sometimes when you sit in something which you don't like really, then the time doesn't move for you. this has always is one of the most intriguing subject matters for me in my life. How is it possible that I see and don't see? That my intelligence can read convincing arguments but is not convinced. That I engage in the most powerful process, the chanting of the holy name, but I seem to not be able to fix my mind on it. How is this possible? And Jiva Goswami makes it very clear. It's because the life is polluted with offenses. Let us see what was Arjuna's reaction when he saw the universal form. A little later on the in Kurukshetra, Arjuna saw the universal form and he said, Akya himiko bhavanugrarupo namostute devavara prasida. O Lord of Lords! O Lord of Lords! Wonderful how he says it. O Lord of Lords! So fierce of form, please tell me who you are. I bring chains to bind you. No, I'm sorry. I'm just testing. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please, Prasida, be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. Wonderful. Arjuna says like this. Could it be that we have closed the windows, Prabhu, because it's so cold when you sit under the window? Or is it... let me be quick. Can we please open the windows? Because we are so many here. And if it's cold for you, just dress maybe warm. This could help. But it's good if we have air to breathe. Can you understand this problem? That we are with the most powerful process, a process that can reveal Krishna to us and reveal our own Atma to us, our own soul. But we can't see it, although it's right before our eyes. We seem to not be able to focus and remain unconcentrated. Now, what is the solution? Would you like to know?
Yes.
It's a very interesting solution. It's repeated practice. Jiva Goswami quotes one verse from the Padma Purana Brahma Kanda 25-23. Nama parada yuktanam naman yeva harantyam avishranti prayuktani tanyeva takarani cha. Only the names of Bhagavan can cleanse the sins of those who commit offenses against the name. For such people, only ceaseless repetition, means repetition without stopping, of the names can bring about the intended results. And Jiva Goswami quotes another shloka from the Brahma Vaivata Purana. He says, all sins can be completely absolved, even the killing of a brahmana, wow, or drinking liquor willingly. It can be all absolved by chanting day and night, Krishna, Krishna. Please say,
Krishna, Krishna.
Very good. So this, when we do this repeatedly, this effects of the aparadas can go. And Jiva Goswami says what is happening. The point here is that repeated chanting brings something to you that is required if you want to be free from offenses. The repeated chantings brings helps you to lose the desire for future sinful acts, and it helps you also to get rid of the offenses that are causal for these sinful desires. No, sometimes we Prabhupada disciples joke amongst ourselves. We call ourselves dirty old men. That means that we have we are now in age. Our body is old, but that's only the biological age. There is a psychological age also, and we are not always cured from the desires of the youth. So we call each other, and when we are in private, we talk about this very honest. So because, yes, the offenses which one commits are the cause for such crazy thoughts, you know, which happen in the mind. Repeated chanting cures this. Let's hear Jiva Goswami here. As far as those who have not attained perfection are concerned, the injunction to repeat devotional acts applies up to the point where the fruit has comes into being. In other words, when you those who are not yet perfected, they should repeatedly chant. Day and night is the best, according to the Brahma Vaivata Purana, until the fruit comes, when we have love of God. This is so because it is conjectured that as long as the fruit has not manifested, offenses must still be present that are obstructing its appearance. Now, does this mean when the fruit comes, when we have love of Godhead, we should stop chanting? Jiva Goswami says, no. In the case of perfected devotees, this injunction was for the not perfected devotees. They should chant until the fruit comes. But in the case of perfected devotees, repetition of the name or other acts of devotion is undertaken simply because it produces unprecedented bliss at every step. So, my dear devotees, Hare Krishna, my dear devotees, this is now the important point. It needs some sound. Let us examine, while we are here in Singhachalam, our present state of taste and devotional life. Let us examine it honestly. We can do this in our private time, and because there's something else which we can do. Let us then see today how we spent the kirtan day in the kirtans, as much as we are able to do with the other services which we have, or and so on. And let us go make this experience of repeatedly chanting. I'm somehow or other very fortunate. I'm invited all over the world for big kirtan programs. I don't know why, because my singing, my voice is not like a cuckoo, so beautiful. No, it is quite the opposite. But yes, this is the Vaishnavas are kind. And I'm see that when we have these like 3 days chanting events, like the last one I was Sadhu Sangha in the town of the Mormons in Utah, Salt Lake City. It was very nice. You know, I always say to the devotees, now at the end of the program, now can you imagine to do things which bring you away from Krishna? And they say, Maharaj, no, but we need more of these events, really, to be absolute stable. I can't imagine now, but who knows, after 2 weeks or so, my old life is also there, you know. But what we can see by chanting long, repeatedly, extra rounds, you somehow lose your desire for those activities that are harmful for spiritual life. You also become very clean or free. I always feel after I have done a longer chanting, I feel like a little baby, you know. In my psychology, I'm just interested only in where are books, where are devotees, you know, where are festivals, where are preaching opportunities. My psychology totally changes, and the man from Hamburg is no longer there in my mind. He's gone. It was too uncomfortable for him, too pure maybe. So yes, this is described by Jiva Goswami as one of the examples. There are of course other commentators on the chanting of the holy name. There is one Kanu Priya Goswami, maybe you have heard about him. He was known as in Bengal as one of the great authorities of chanting. He would chant throughout his life 64 rounds a day, and he has given books, has published books like the Nama Chintamani. And he is quite of a type of a scholar, I would say, a very thoughtful individual, very brilliant also. And there is a section in his books where he says, after chanting, we feel sometimes not, we don't want to, we feel we don't know what to say. I have seen that in our kirtan events, when we have chanted, then there is a pause. And then after some time, a devotee, someone, a newcomer, starts a nervous laughter. In the sense of, what just happened, you know. What happened is the mirror of the mind was cleansed, and there was just silence. And in the silence of the mind, the devotional inclinations were just very loud. You know, oh, I want Krishna, or I only want this. I've often heard this from devotees. Just yesterday on the phone, one devotee said, when I was sitting in the kirtans of Aindra, I thought, I can die now. I have nothing else to do in this world any longer. I'm done, finished. Because this is what the repeated chanting does. So when you see that your taste is not there, you're maybe distracted from bhakti, your faith in Krishna is very small, only there, and so on. When you have all these, when you feel, oh my bhakti, oh my God, I'm so slack sometimes, I'm so lazy for my spiritual practices. When you see all this, then say, there is a solution. I don't have to be sad any longer. I go into this repeated chanting. Jiva Goswami quotes a verse from Vishnu Dharma. He says, Krishna is attracted to pure heart like a swan who is attracted to a pure water pond. A swan does not like muddy ponds of water. So in the same way, Krishna doesn't like to come into a heart that is muddy. Muddy waters, there's muddy waters. No, he wants to come into the pure heart. So I suggest to you nothing less than a little marathon. Ha-ha! A chanting marathon of the holy name. This will make you blissful. This will give you eventually the confidence which you need to go with strength through your spiritual life. And it will also, my dear devotees, listen to this. It will reveal Krishna to you and your own spiritual form, Siddha Swarup. Wow! Vastu Siddhi. Wow! You know, all these things which we don't speak about, but which are discussed in the corridors of controversy. Everything will be revealed by chanting. No? This process itself is so powerful. And the reason is, because Krishna comes like the fire, which comes and takes out the impurities from the alloyed metal. So Krishna does it. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the fact that the Bhagavatam uses the analogy of fire means something. Nothing else will purify us. You know, you can't get out the dirt, the discoloring from the gold by any other means. You can bring Ajax or Superpril or all these, what is it called in India? Nirmala soap. It means then, mala means contamination. So in Hindi they say soap is, there's one brand, Nirmala soap. No, doesn't work also. On the heart, but then chanting because it's Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, can you understand that this subject is of importance or that we can see? I must tell you very honestly, I can now go into I don't read now from my notes any longer. I'm different. I didn't join the Krishna consciousness movement because of the movement. I'm not attracted to movements. I'm an individualist, like Kadamba Kalana Maharaj. We are not movement people. I joined because despite of the movement, it is different. I know sometimes my God brothers like to have unions, you know, devotee unions, let all the old devotees come together. And I see there's great value in such programs for those who are liking, you know, societies and groups of people, and they want to see their friends. It is very, very useful. It must, much more unions should be going on. But personally, I'm saying, I'm just different. I came to this movement only because, see, I was interested in mysticism before. I read a few books, not many. I'm not educated in anything. But I thought, well, here with this, I could go to another realm, the deathless world. Wow! I thought, this is something. And I came because of a promise. And when with 20, I was 20 years old, I saw, not 25 years, I was still like I was before, I wanted to leave the Hare Krishna movement. I thought, sorry, the process doesn't work, and I came only because of the process, not because of something else. And I wanted to go away. But by that time, it was not possible for me because Prabhupada had won my restless heart. I thought he's wonderful, and he certainly lives his talk. It must work if he says it. But why does it not work for me then? Then I went a year into hibernation. I only preached so that everyone did not see that anything is wrong with me. But I mostly read in this year the books, and I found this information about chanting, and then repeated chanting, you know, for long times to cure this. And then I'm trying this, and I'm not an advanced chanter because I'm very sinful creature by nature. I'm not good like you, but something works. I can honestly say something which I thought would not happen in this lifetime has worked. I'm content. I'm satisfied in my life. I thought it could not happen with me because I'm a troubled person by my birth and by my inclinations. I'm a troubled person and a troublemaker. But it changes. Something changes. So I can really sit here and say, my dear devotees, it works. It works very well. And I can only say this investigation has helped me. It's not easy for any individual to be just absolutely honest with themselves, because we like to think good of ourselves. We like to say, okay, I may not be perfect, but my intentions are good. I have good intentions. That's why I stay in this process. It's difficult for us to see and have a honest inventory. It's psychologically very difficult for people, and we all came here to become better. And if this doesn't work, wow, our life is ruined. So there are many reasons why it's difficult to be just so. Let us say introspective. But here I feel is a solution, which I wish to offer to your inspection. In this repeated practice, best is day and night. Sing in all situations. Sing. I mean, there are devotees. There's Kalidas who was playing dice, but he was singing Hare Krishna. I'm not recommending you to play dice. I'm just saying, repeated practice, wherever you are, chant, not with the idea I will continue to do things that are harmful, and by the chanting I will solve this. This is not good. This is then you're trapped again by the aparadas, but with the sincerity in your heart. What do you think? Not so easy to just say something. You have to work until every cell of your being is behind what you say, and then you will do something. Yes, so this is the good news. Today we have Kirtan days, and I request you to take advantage as much as you can. Also, one thing which needs to be mentioned is, please, see, I brought all my glasses. This is for the long distance. I could see everything on Lord Nrsimhadev with these glasses. What the material eyes can see. I'm hoping my heart gets purified by his mercy. Because Lord Nrsimhadev, amongst all the other wonderful things, he has what is called, you know, Krishna shows his mercy in six ways. And one is through parental affection. And he does this parental kripa through Lord Nrsimhadev. He comes, you know, behind Lord Nrisimhadev's claws are very soft palms with which he is attending to the needs of his devotees. And but when he sees obstacles in us, his claws come out and he removes them without scratching us because he is like a lion, you know, soft to the devotees, but he can remove the obstacles from our heart. And this is, I think, why most of us are here. No? We want to move on. So, Sina Shingadeva ki jai, go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. Thank you so much for listening. I hope it was not too intense, but I warned you in the beginning. So, now let us watch the time. 10 minutes past nine. I see there's one question. Yes, please.
You mentioned that according to Jiva Goswami that inattentiveness is caused by the offenses. But according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur that inattentiveness is actually the root of all other offenses. So could you say something about this point? Also just a small relevant question to this. How is because it is said that the 10th offense is the most subtle and is also the cause of the previous ones. So how is the false ego related to the false finding mentality? Oh. Or maybe the question is not so relevant.
Behind all our offenses is aham mameti, I am separate from Krishna. And when we can see ourselves as a servant of Krishna, or at least act as a servant first and then see ourselves as a servant, then the offenses will have no food any longer. They will not have any nourishment any longer. So if you can take away the absorption in I and mine, you know, as separate from Krishna, then you will never abuse your merciful master any longer. A heart of a servant is not finding any offenses in his thinking. It is not there. It is not possible. He wants to do service. He understands I'm a servant. And I would like to limit my comment here. First of all, for bhakti to work, there's one realization we need to make. It's Prabhupada spoke about it throughout, and in the last time when some German Sankirtan devotees saw him, I was amongst them. Prabhupada gave us an instruction which I can just tell you. Prabhupada asked us, so have you understood our process? Have you understood our philosophy? And we were first of all silent. Prabhupada looked so thin, so the English word is emaciated. He did not eat. He was already with one of his legs in the spiritual world. He was only a short time longer amongst us. We could understand this when we saw him. So he asked us, this was the last darshan, have you understood our philosophy? For Prabhupada, philosophy was more than it's now in the academic world. But also philosophy now has a comeback in the academic world. It's no longer something for people who just speculate It is known by some as the foundation of all other disciplines, the worldviews which you have, the way you look and understand the world. Anyways, so have you understood? You know, we were silent. And then a few more bold devotees gave various answers. And Prabhupada looked for a very particular answer. He finally gave the answer himself. He said very slowly, and we really needed to strain to hear. First of all, pause. You have to understand. Pause. That life, a long pause, is eternal. In the Gita, Prabhupada also makes this the beginning point of Krishna consciousness is when you understand, I'm not the body. So this understanding translates in, don't take your mind so serious, don't take your material desires serious, they are not you, it's something else. It's the robot you, it's the vehicle which has been supplied by material nature to you, which has certain demands on you. Some are very, very important demands we have to take care. Others are not so important, they are harmful to us. So it's not you when the mind tells you, I need this, no. First you need to understand, I'm a soul. And then you can ask, oh yes, what do we do now as a soul? By the way, on the way, you will have to also take the human being along. Because those who try to immediately detach themselves from all material desires coming from body and mind will not be able to do it for a long time, if they are not purified. So therefore, just to be on the safe side, you have to situate yourself according to where your body and mind feel some reasonable comfort in this life, and from there practice your Krishna consciousness. Good. I was answering not all of your questions. They were very good, and perhaps there's another time when we can answer these questions in greater detail. But I want to end on this hopeful note. My dear devotees, Krishna can do everything for you. He wants to take care of your purification. He wants to bring you to the spiritual world. Just understand when you chant, yes, I'm doing this for you, Krishna, and address him as long as you can, as attentive as you can, and Krishna will be very pleased with you. With this note, I want to wish you a very good Kirtan day, and the rest of the program is also there. I don't yet know it, but I'm sure it is printed somewhere. I will end here. Srila Prabhupada ki Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Krishna, Krishna, day and night, Krishna, 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 Krishna.